Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
How are we doing, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the channel. I'm Ron Swanson. I'm here with John Whitberg, and we're delving into Antarctica, missing children, a whole smorgasbord of conspiracy, conspiracy fact, tinfoil hat, whatever you want to call it. But listen, John is tight for time. I'm tight for time, so we're going to get this in a nice, neat hour. So I'm going to hand it over to John, let him introduce himself, and let him topple his own dominoes. So thank you for being here, John, and giving up your time, mate.
Yeah, anytime. It's quite an honor to be on this show.
You're very welcome.
So, okay, I guess to make a very, very long and story very basic and short, my testimony, according to things that I have remembered on my own, which I have received corroboration from other people, this is entirely my own recollection, by the way. This is not anything that I have gotten from hypnotic regression or anything else of that sort, which is, you know, questionably trustworthy, to say the least.
Yep.
From my recollection, the Axis powers did not technically lose the war. Both Germany and Japan did not lose the war. They were beaten to back to the shores of Antarctica, or rather, they fled to the shores of Antarctica underground with ET assistance.
Okay.
And began receiving technology from various ET groups and began heading off world and setting up an empire off world.
Okay.
And then in 1953, a contingency of them returned because there were issues with the fertility of the population. And so they needed a whole bunch of children in order to build out their civilization. A contingency of them returned and approached various governments on Earth. And the deal made in the United States was 150,000 children per year in exchange for them not taking over the entire planet, which they could have easily done with the technology they'd gotten. And in 2007, I was one of those children.
Holy shit. Okay. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, John, I've always asked myself what it is that's held back anyone landing on our planet, making contact with our planet. What is it that has kept anyone from really other worlds coming down and breaking totally through the conspiracy? And I imagine if there is the facilitation of the abduction of 150,000 children, that would be enough to keep that from happening.
Yeah, there's also the matter of the fact that the Prime Directive from Star Trek is real. There are laws galactically that you cannot interfere with a developing world. Which, whoever it is, the people who helped out the Axis powers to get off-world are breaking that law. But, you know,
I'm with you. And so it's funny, I've used the Prime Directive as an analogy before, too. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So that's basically where my testimony begins.
Okay.
All
right. Well, I mean, take us through the rest of it, John. I mean, it sounds like a very intricate and very complex story.
Yes, it is. It is. I'm writing a book right now. I'm writing the fifth of six volumes on it. There's over 1,000 pages already, and that's only on about one of the times I was taken. I am taken for this program quite regularly in my sleep for missions off-world and on-world occasionally. My consciousness is transferred frequently into enhanced bodies for use as a A lot of people like the term super soldier. I don't care for that term much, but it's the one in common usage within the community that I'm a part of. So that's how it works. The most recent time I was taken was 3 nights ago.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's jump into 3 nights ago, because that'll set a stage for us. So talk us through what you did the night before. Like, you just went to bed, went to sleep. Like, take us through, you know, the evening, from the evening before, if that's all right with you, John, if you don't mind.
Sure, yeah. So I went to bed, and the way the process works is there is a ship which hovers above your house, cloaked behind clouds.
Okay.
And they use portal technology, basically, not wormhole technology. It's a different technology called subspace transfer, which is like opening a gate between two locations via a fourth dimension. And there are patents out there for all of these technologies, by the way. I could show you them. There are patents for all the technologies that make the things I talk about possible. And so I'm laying in bed. They open the portal into my house. They use a microwave weapon on my house so that no one else wakes up. Although my family are also frequently taken for this, which is a story I can get into with, as to how my family became a part of this. But at any rate, I wake up in a bed on the ship about to be taken to wherever the next mission is.
And can you describe the ship? What it's like when you're coming to in that environment? Is are your senses the same as they would be at home? Can you take
they're a bit dull at first, but they come back too, because
I imagine you've done this so many times, John, that it's kind of mundane, and I got a lot of things that we're going to hear for the first time you may not think to mention because it's just another day at the office.
I understand. So,
if you could give us some, like, try, if you imagine, like, give us the Tolkien version, if you're trying to paint the room, if that makes sense.
All right. It's always all very white and shiny, glassy, almost futuristic. But the clothes the people wear on the ship are not futuristic, because they're still, like, a lot of their culture is frozen in the 1940s. Because that's when they left Earth. So, like, for instance, the nurses walking to and fro when you wake up are still wearing, you know, the little mini skirt outfits and such. Wow. And there's usually a
40s with a slight Nazi sprinkle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually a big flag. They don't have the same flag as you would think of the Nazi flag here. They have their own off-world one, which is the Nazi eagle clutching the Milky Way galaxy. And there's also a Japanese one, which is the rising sun flag, but again, it has the galaxy in the middle of it. Because Imperial Japan is a huge part of this that a lot of people never talk about or think about or mention. And so from there we went to a planet. I don't know the name of the planet. A lot of the times the sound is gone. They successfully wipe the sound from these memories when they send me back.
Okay.
So it's usually more visual memory.
Do you think that's because it's easier to erase the soundtrack than the visual track from your brain?
It must be. On the other hand, 99.999% of people who are taken for all of this have no memories at all. in my experience. So, and I don't know why I'm able to remember so much more than almost anyone else. I've met exactly four other individuals who are at my level of recall. And so I don't know what the cause of it is, but whatever the cause of it is,
wow.
Where was I? Whatever the cause of it is, I remember quite a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, when you've woken up, you've seen whoever that is that's sent in to see you, nurses or whatever, you know, whatever individuals have injected into this particular recall.
Usually it's nurses, and then eventually the captain comes by, and when he comes in, we all get up, get in our uniforms, and get ready to go.
Is your experience the same as the other individuals you've spoken to, or do you find that it's more tailored to the comfort of the people that they're recalling?
No, it's pretty well universal, more or less. It depends also on which faction you're taken by. There are also other countries which have their own secret space programs. There's an American one, there's an English one, there's a Russian one, etc. So it does change some depending on all of that. But this is the typical Axis Powers SSP experience.
I'll be honest, John, right? The first 30 seconds, you kind of blew my mind with the introduction and the war and Japan and the off-world and all of this. And, you know, your story isn't unfamiliar to me. You know, individuals who have been taken, survivors of off-world abuse, off-world missions, the super soldier, like you've said, right? That's a good way of putting it, right? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily just a guinea pig. If you understand the comparison. And I think it's the first time where someone slapped me in the face with the alternative ending to, World War II, like you've said. And that threw me off, John. Like, I'm not going to lie. That deep in my brain straight away. Like, I genuinely Pam slapped my head. I was like, that was too much too fast for my ADHD. But when we get into your story, all of it, I've heard before, all of it makes sense. All of it is something that before going into this interview, I was a believer in this, and I know this is real. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to dial in on the things that you remember, and obviously dial in on the children and things like that too. But if you don't mind me kind of geeking out for 10 minutes and we talk about, The out of this world things that you've seen, and then we'll delve into the real horrors behind it all, if you don't mind.
All right, absolutely. Where do you want to start?
Well, listen, I still want to know what happened 3 days ago. I mean, even things that you notice out the corner of your eye, you know, colors of lights that are on, or symbols, that's another thing. Iconography, you know, you mentioned the two flags. But symbols and things like this are massive because, you might say a symbol that I've heard of being in a temple somewhere, and it just adds things together. But I'm going to shut up now, everyone. I'm sorry. Carry on, John.
Okay. Well, symbolism, they're very heavy on runic symbolism. But like that tattoo on your hand there.
All right.
Yeah. They're very heavy on, that's a Volknut, isn't it?
That is, yeah.
They're very heavy on that one and on the Othala rune and so on, because their main religion is Norse paganism, which
that's my religion, bro.
Yeah, me too.
This is wild. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, me too. I'm a pagan also.
Brother.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. My G.
So. There's quite a lot of that stuff around, and with the Japanese, there's also Shinto symbolism as well, with the images of the kami and the yokai and everything. Let's see. Their main colors are still black and white and red. And also dark blue. They don't particularly have weird colored lights. That's a very interesting question. But they don't particularly have weird colored lights.
Yeah, yeah. Or patterns of lights. Patterns of lights. Anything like that.
They do sometimes have patterns of lights, yes, in their various symbols. Everything for them is symbolic and cultural. You know, they're the most cultured people you will ever meet. They just happen to be what they are, you know. Mm. But they're extremely cultured. Mm. They...
John, it's very easy to romanticize all of this up until this point.
So yeah. They play a lot of like classical music and opera and old folk songs. They also love smuggled music from Earth. They love Elton John. They love. You can't fault their taste.
Yeah, listen, you know, ironic that there's an actual Rocket Man listening to Rocket Man. I mean, I think we can all get behind that. That's a beautiful thing. It was Rock. He did sing Rocket Man, right? Or was that? Yeah, that's fine. So look, but here it's easy to start romanticizing all this, but we've got to keep in mind 150,000 children missing each year. You never signed up for this, for a start.
I did not. Like, and so, I'll talk about now how my family came to be involved in this.
Sure, please do, John.
The involvement, as far as I can trace it, as far as it plausibly seems to be, have begun, is with my mother's father's uncle. His name was Lawrence Vickers. He was a naval intelligence officer towards the end of... He signed up for naval intelligence in 1943, so he was in World War II, and he was stationed in it for the rest of his life. He died in sometime in the 70s. And we have very few photographs of him, incidentally. He did not like his photograph being taken after he had joined the service. And he rarely ever talked about what he did. We do know he would vanish overnight for sometimes weeks on end, and he would come home, and there would be stickers on his suitcase or something, and it would turn out he had been in Vienna or Saigon or who knows where. But what is known, we also know that he was working with Project Paperclip. He did admit that much. Working to bring German intelligence officials and scientists from the Nazi apparatus to the United States to work in the intelligence community. And what is most likely is that he is who got the family involved in all of this. Mm. And so therefore, we've all been being taken since childhood. My grandfather, my mother, and now me.
John,
yes.
I started speaking this year about something that happened to me when I was little, and it wasn't traumatic. In fact, it was overly feeling of comfort, and it was like waking up on a table with like a thick covering that I could like imagine a thick saran wrap or thick cling film wherever you live.
Okay, yeah.
But it was like milky and frosty, and I was just held there, and there were shadows going around, and then I would wake up in my bed again. And I never, it's burned into my mind, but there's zero trauma attached to it. So I don't know what that means, but that's something that I've started discussing.
It sounds to me like they've been taking you and transferring your consciousness into a clone body, and sometimes you wake up during the process of that.
Sick.
Yeah.
But look, that's actually something that we can discuss offline, because I got some questions.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gladly.
Yeah. Continue with your story, John, please.
So my family is completely oblivious to all of this. They don't have their memories, or if they do, they wouldn't admit to it. They are Jehovah's Witnesses. Which holds that ET experiences are demonic. And just in this video, I'm sure there's going to be like 300 comments. ETs equals demons, whatever. But at any rate.
Well, look, here's the thing, right? Here's an interesting one. Well, there's a lot of people that believe that space is questionable. We've never been there, right? But you yourself have said you went to sleep and then woke up on a ship, right? So do you know if you're off-world, or are you in a new world, in a new dimension? Is it dimensional, or is it off-world? And can you say decisively if you are in our universe, or if you are in a place that doesn't necessarily... This is going with the theory that there is no space, if that makes sense.
It's hard to say whether you have traveled to another, like a parallel... Mm-hmm. Also physical universe, like how would you determine that?
That's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, that's fine.
I am saying it is still a physical experience and it does not take place on Earth.
Yeah,
because 100%. I can remember Earth from space. I can remember other planets from space. I can remember landing on planets. There's way too much physicality to it. There's way too many ETs that bleed when you shoot them. Smells and sounds and sights. Like yeah, John,
that wasn't what I was meaning, right? I wasn't meaning.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't mean like you go into like ghost mode or anything like that.
Okay.
I mean, because there's so much stuff about our own universe, right? There's so much conspiracy about what shape the planet is. All of it. I've never been to space. I've never just gotten a weather balloon and just tied myself to it and YOLO'd up there to see what's happening, right? So really, most of us don't know. So interesting if, so for example, if you physically looked out of a spaceship, sorry for my terminology, and seen Earth and went, oh, Earth, that's mad, and then just went about your day, or have you seen it on a screen, or have you never seen that from space? Because it's interesting that they've taken away the journey from you. You just go and then you appear there, because I wonder if the journey is going to give away a bigger secret than their existence, John.
I have spacewalked outside of a ship in orbit. Now, in theory, there could have been a holographic overlay of some sort in the spacesuit helmet. What I can say, what I remember Earth looking like, is that it is round. Although it's not a completely, totally, 100% perfect sphere, there is a little bit of bulging around Europe. And it is slightly flattish in the South Pacific. And there are some islands in the South Pacific that you're not getting told about, that you won't find on any maps. So those are the main differences. But otherwise, yes, Earth is a more round than not planet.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking... As round as you can make a ball in your hand with a bit of plasticine, sort of rolling it up like this, is round.
Exactly.
A little bit off, right?
Exactly.
Quickly, John, there's a lot of people asking about your books. Does John have an essay release for his next book?
Yes. Probably October, November this year.
Okay. Yeah. So now let's just pretend that I've not just derailed the whole podcast again, because I'm really good at this. We're talking about you getting taken away 3 days ago. You've spoken about the individuals you've interacted with. You've spoken about iconography that you've seen, which has blown my mind. Is there any part of that that you've not discussed before we move on to the next segment, shall we say?
You're the first person who has ever asked me about the lighting.
Bro, I'm so autistic. There's no knowing what's going to come out of my brain, bro.
Yeah, that's cool.
The reason that I ask you, John, is because I might have seen and experienced things. And if I've seen, you know, blue flash, red flash, red flash, blue flash out the corner of my eye, and you turn around and say, yeah, I distinctively remember this sequence of lights, that's why I ask these weird questions, because I know when I believe someone's story, I dial in on something that I can then find to identify in someone else's story to link everything together.
Yeah, I saw flashing light stuff during my initial MKUltra phase when I was 6 years old, which is my first memory when I was taken. This is not the same kind of MKUltra that people who are probably 40 or above who have you may have interviewed before have talked about. In for the younger generations, they are less focused on R word. These days, they focus in on mind wiping, wiping your memories, drugs, holographic overlays into your brain via chips which are installed, and splitting your consciousness via a certain kind of a chip called a soul bite.
Okay.
Which
have they removed the R because they've perfected the DID in another way?
Yes.
Thank you. All right.
They realized it's easier actually to make you do these sort of things. It's easier to make you go around blowing up planets or whatever if they give you, if they play into your morality, which, yes, even as a small child, you have a developed morality.
I think that's probably going to be specific to the super soldier category then, as opposed to the, like, the on-planet sleeping. Sorry to use the term sleeping drone. I just, my brain couldn't figure out the right number for a sleeper agent. There we go. Sorry.
Carry on, please. Yeah. That's the process for the modern super soldiers and assassins, spies, which I've done all of those sort of jobs. I've also been a diplomatic attaché off-world, and I've done lots of different jobs across various altars.
And this is going to sound really, really, like, I don't take offense to this, but, like, you need to start, like, putting some of this out as, like, AI storytelling, man. Like, putting this out, because, like, I imagine if people seen that, so many more people would reach out to you.
I do make music videos about some of my experiences with some AI pictures and some pictures that just are supposed sci-fi art that I've found that looks similar. I've done lots of that, and I've done, you know, around 100 interviews. Yeah, across different platforms.
Right. Well, look, I'm actually going to mute myself. And if you see my camera do this, it's because I'm chain smoking. All right. I don't like doing it on camera. So just conclude the story from 3 days ago, and then let's pivot back into what is happening to these children, the darker side of all of this. Because, like I say, up till this point, it sounds really like adaptable into a Netflix series that we would all watch. Do you know what I'm saying? Romanticizable, runes, all of this stuff. But let's focus back in on the harsh reality of this entire thing.
Well, this mission 3 days ago was quite simple. I was with a team of people, including my son off-world. My son off-world, his name is Maximilian Alexander Bronsley. He is my proudest creation.
Wow.
He is, due to time travel, he is older than me. That's a story I've talked about in detail in across two interviews in particular. But, and yes, time travel is very real and very possible, which this is how Einstein was wrong. There is no such thing as a time continuum as such, and there is no such thing as the speed of light. But that's, I mean, there is such a thing as the speed of light. However, the speed of light is not a limit nor a constant. But that's, I'll get into that. We can get into that later, some maybe. Getting back on topic, this was a courier mission, quite simple. We were delivering some blueprints for something to these pterodactyl-like ETs. And and in exchange, we were getting some kind of technology. It looked like a bazooka, but I think it was something much more advanced than a bazooka. And then we took it, we brought it to...
Do you know what the tone's like? Do you know what the tone's like of the deals between our world and this world? Do you feel like
with this planet, we have friendly relations.
Friendly relations, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so very diplomatic, very, like, day job stuff as far as all this goes, right?
Yeah.
That's fascinating, man.
Yeah. And I believe on this instance, in this instance, I was there as security. I was just the guy with the gun, and there was a lady making the deal. She was a hot blonde. I guess is pretty good to make deals with.
Just so you know, ladies, the misogyny is still existing throughout the galaxy. You can blame the Nazis. All right, you can blame the Nazis. Ah, that's all I can say, right? That's just the way it is.
Yeah. And then we brought it to the station. Sometimes I can remember the name of this station, and sometimes I can't. It's very strange. But I'm there quite regularly. It's in the orbit of Saturn's moon Titan.
Okay.
And then they would take it down onto the planet for R&D.
Okay.
Onto Titan. Not onto the planet, sorry. Onto the moon Titan for R&D.
Moto Casino is pure American energy. Born in the USA and with the same 1776 spirit that built this country. Moto, America's social casino, is celebrating that freedom with a 1 million sweeps coin prize giveaway. One lucky American is going to win 1 million sweeps coins. So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Cap.
Say that again.
Hi, Kat. Nice to see you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Honestly, there is some people that are... Because honestly, I'm not going to lie. The first 10 seconds of the interview, you totally derailed me, bro. Like the portals in Japan and World War II and the Nazis, I was like, oh.
What I wish we could.
Yeah, but no, again...
We'll have to do another one of these, and we'll go for like 3 hours.
Listen, I'm totally...
And you can just... You can just nerd the hell out.
I'm trying so hard to shut up, right?
Yeah.
It's so hard to keep my mouth shut because everyone gets really annoyed at me. Because Sean's the master of shutting up for 3 hours at a time and the guest just talking, right? And people like that. I can't, it's too interesting. Like I need to expand on points. It's too interesting.
Well, and listen, I prefer your style because I am very autistic in my own way, and like if I have to, I have difficulty focusing in on certain topics. Yeah. So like you keep me focused in on certain things, so that's good.
I would never have guessed, John. I'm just saying. I can tell my people when I see them. So it's fascinating, right? And like I say, with the way that I like to connect survivor stories, which, I mean, you are very much an active... There's so many layers, John. Like, what we could call you or how we could pigeonhole you. John's fine, though. It's when little things pop up and they connect everything together for me, because you shouldn't be having an experience with someone... you should not have the same experience with a total stranger 10 years apart, 1,000 miles apart. Like the odds of it are they're just not possible. But when you see it time and time again, whether it's a little part of it or if it's all of it, it just adds such a great amount of like vindication and validation to all of these stories. And you're across the board just doing that. It's awesome.
And again, yeah, well, I have people all over the world. I have people in the UK, Canada, Australia, Taiwan, Indonesia, Germany, Hungary, Russia, etc. Like, who all have basically the same story.
Wow.
And it's like, none of these people have met each other until a few years ago. Right. And it's like, how is that possible? There must be something going on for everyone to have the same story.
It's fascinating, man.
Really is.
Like even having a panel of two or three people who can talk about when they met each other and would talk about their stories, and they were like, oh my God, that happened to me, and dialing in on the points and the similarities. And I don't know if anyone in the side chat is interested in that, but that's what blows my mind about it all. So
Yeah. I am arranging a big-ish panel soon on my channel with a battle buddy of mine. His name is Jack Flynn. I've interviewed him a few times before.
Yeah, it sounds great, man. But let's continue on. I'm going to mute myself. If my camera goes off, don't worry. And if I see you shaking, I'll jump in and grab you. Don't worry. Just take us through it, because again, when we're talking about 150,000 kids, that's really what we need to dial in on.
Yeah. Okay. The stipulations of the treaty, which was signed by Ike Eisenhower, and the stipulation of the treaty with the United States, I don't know the exact stipulation, the numbers with other countries, and I know there have been other ones signed since, because, for instance, there was one signed with the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union no longer exists, so there must be new treaties with the Russian Federation and the Republic of Poland, etc., right? And the stipulation in the U.S. was 150,000 children of selected ethnicities per year. German-American, Japanese-American, and some other ethnic groups, such as some Native American tribes, Sephardic Jews, interestingly, not Ashkenazi Jews, Sephardic Jews only, Finnish, Dutch, other Germanic peoples, and Chinese Americans of Manchu descent, not Han Chinese descent, Manchu Chinese descent, were the selected ones. And I want to make it very clear, these Axis powers did not anticipate the torture and fracturing of children. That was not part of the deal. The deal was they were going to send them off planet basically to be a part of the civilization for a while and help them make babies. Because what happened when they first started leaving was the fully grown, developed adult women stopped having their periods because women's menstrual cycles are locked to the moon. Sorry to go there and be gross, but it's a part of life.
Wait, so no menstrual cycle?
Yeah. But the prepubescent girls who they brought along with them adapted and started developing normally when they came of age.
They adapted to their environment before puberty.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And they needed a whole lot of prepubescent girls and some amount of prepubescent boys to grow up with them and make babies, right? That was the deal. And the Americans decided to take World War II into space. So they started the mind fracturing. And, you know, say what you will about Nazis and Imperial Japanese people, they're not stupid. They decided to capitalize on this and start using these mind-fractured people as super soldiers, in addition to using some of their alters as well as civilian colonials in these places off-world. And the children who never come home, when you hear about children who just vanish from their beds and are never seen again, in many, many, many cases, these are children who do not survive the mind fracturing process mentally and go catatonic and cannot be revived. And they are either dumped in the incinerator while they're alive to feel it, or they are eaten by certain ETs who eat children or eat humans as food. Often, again, while they're alive to feel it. Or possibly they died off-world and could not be revived, because the off-world Axis does have resurrection technology, but there are times when, you know, if your brainstem gets blown out completely, if you get burned really, really badly, if you get atomized, or if you get killed by something and they take your head off and run away with it, then they can't recall your soul back into your body, because your soul lives in your brainstem. This is kind of high concept stuff, but this is how it works. And so that's actually something that's, by the way, that is something that Norse people know, is that the soul lives in the brain.
Let's dial in on that, right? Because I want to fully understand that part. So when we talk about an individual who's being atomized, you said, so that would be like getting phasered, vaporized, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're vaporized, your soul's screwed.
Yeah, and they can't revive you from that. So
yeah. I mean, where are they going to revive you from?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There's not like a holding pen at the other side of the galaxy where everyone's vaporized and then rematerializes. That would be quite interesting, though, if they just lied about the technology and there's just a field of vaporized people running around confused. But no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Right?
Because let's just say Ron's terrible movie education on this. Being vaporized, you are removing the physical construction from reality. It is like taking a piece of paper and it's burning it away. You're not even left with the ash.
So yeah.
I can fully get behind the nerd movie brain science of vaporizing screws you crossing over.
Yeah. Now, if they have a sample of your DNA on file, they can make a clone. But your soul will have moved on to somewhere else.
Okay.
So they can't revive, they can't bring the original consciousness back at that point.
No, I get that.
Yeah. So
you know, when you said your son is older than you, like, how can you be totally sure that your, like, consciousness, like, a couple of lifetimes ago didn't make your son at an appropriate age, and then that version of you got KO'd by the freaking Genghis Khans in Sector 5, and now you're back in a new body with the same download? How can you be sure that ain't the case, John? Like,
I guess you can't entirely always be sure.
Damn!
Yeah. I'm satisfied that he... I remember his birth. I remember all of that.
Okay. Right?
Yeah, like, yeah, but...
You need to start looking in the mirror so that you can get, like, a timestamp of what you look like, because do you know where that memory is from?
Yes, I do, and I did look the same as I do now.
Okay, sick. So I've just wasted another 2 or 3 minutes of this podcast by asking questions that went nowhere. So just go back.
You answered a question that I get frequently. So now when people ask it, I can just timestamp some this point on the interview.
Yeah, great, fantastic.
Yeah,
it's just fascinating, John.
This is why I keep doing shows, is because I always get a new question that's useful.
Oh, I wouldn't anything like me before, John. Trust me. trust me, bro.
Believe that.
Okay. Before I derail this again, we were going over the fact about the young girls, young boys being taken, the effect on the menstrual cycles, the breeding, and all of this. Just continue on, John.
Okay. So that is where 150,000 American children go every year, and contingencies of unknown size from all over Europe, Latin America, and parts of East Asia, and parts of Africa.
Yeah.
And some of them don't come back. A lot of them do, and they don't have memories. It happens very frequently that I will see people out in public that I recognize from off world.
Wow.
that I've seen, you know, doing this or that. And, you know, of course you can't walk up to them and say, "Hey, oh, I saw you on Mars last week. Did you score with that brunette?" You can't do that, obviously. So it's a very bizarre experience. Sometimes I also see people who I would have thought surely there was no way they would have come back, and I wonder, is that a clone, or did they actually somehow come back? There's actually people who I talk to who I thought surely they were dead permanently, based on what I'd seen, including one of your previous guests, Alondra Markman, who recommended me to the show. In my memory of him, I thought that he had died and could not be revived. But clearly that was wrong, because he was here and he came on your show, and he and I talk almost every day. Yeah.
And what was the gentleman's name?
Alondra Markman. I think Sean is who actually interviewed him. And mostly they talked about SRA shit. Pardon my language. But,
It's the guy with the glasses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think Sean's interviewed him. I might have interviewed him. We might have interviewed him. Sean's interviewed him. It was Sean that interviewed him. It was recently. It was last month, actually. It was Sean that interviewed him.
Yeah, and he's who recommended me for this show. As did Daniel Sala. Shout out to Daniel of St. Olga 69.
Sick.
Yeah.
My producer Sarah, right? She is like an oracle who's been hooking me up with people that are sort of putting little pieces into my own cosmic journey puzzle, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another one. So
yeah. Well, I'm happy to hear that.
So let me just dial into what you said when you feel like you recognize people. So arguably, we know the cloning exists. Arguably, we know the downloading and storing and sharing of consciousness exists. So really, what is...
We live in the altered carbon universe and we don't know it.
But that's what I'm saying, John. So what is the real version? So the people that I've interviewed, if they've been vaporized or freaking... like Starship Troopered multiple times, like, is it this is going to be like one of those things that hurts our brains, John, because what is the real person then? Is it the conscious? Well, then is it the original conscience? Because a copy of something on a computer, when you copy and paste it, is the exact same thing, right? And it's
in theory.
Are the possibilities not mind-blowing? Because it's not like you should fear the person who has been taken out the game, cloned and re-downloaded, if you can relate to their story and their experience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So I think for a lot of people, we only hear about the evil clone armies and everything like this. And I'm not saying anything that's happening in your story is good, because you never signed up for it. But it's interesting, and it's mind-blowing, bro.
I'm not afraid of clones. I know that there are much scarier things out there than clones.
Well, we'll get to that, because, you know, now I need to know. But basically, when it comes to these 150,000 kids that America's got to deal with, the off-worlders, the non-humans, let's do that, because then that takes away UFOs, off-world, interdimensional, whatever you need to insert for John's story to apply to you of how he gets from sleep to where he is, insert it there. But these children are being taken under a deal where they are being taken and then brought up to an age where they can make babies. What's going on? What's happening with these babies? Are these just... what are they used for?
Sometimes they're used for soldiers as well, because the gene therapy that those of us being used undergo often transfers to our offspring, which is why, for instance, my son is being used on missions, because the gene therapy I underwent transferred to him. And also the gene therapy that his mother, who is also a super soldier, had undergone, transferred to him.
This is Warhammer 40,000. You understand that, right? This is like straight up gene seeding of creating soldiers. This is wild.
Yeah. The gene therapy transfers, so a lot of times they get used, or they just end up as colonials off-world here and there. So... on whatever planet they're born on, or whatever planet the state apparatus transfers them to.
You blew my mind. Okay, so I think we've got an understanding now of the deal, the missing kids, what happens to them. And I think we've sort of put that in a nice little bubble, because I think going into any more detail would be five or six things we need to cover. And John, you're definitely coming back. I'll tell you this right now. And okay. I think what we need to do is the next one, I think we should just focus on all of your books, right? Plug all the books, talk about the books, send out the links for the books, make it all about the books. And then we'll dial back in on a few other things that you're wanting to talk about and all the rest, because I'll tell you this right now. This is not how I thought this interview was going to go after the first 90 seconds of it. I'm not going to lie. And now you're, again, one of these individuals. I need to know now everything about these books. I need to get the books. I need to hear about the books. We need to talk about the books because there's little voices in my head saying there's more pieces of the puzzle, John.
Yeah. Listen, I have my books are available for free on Internet Archive. Or I can send you the PDFs if you can't open Internet Archive, because I know it's blocked in some countries, which is effed up. But
have you got WhatsApp?
Yeah.
I'll get Sarah to connect us on WhatsApp and we'll do it all over there. And if they're free books, I will help distribute your books for sure.
Yeah. And there are also audiobooks. They're AI read, but they're pretty decent AI. And on my YouTube channel and these are all about one single altar of mine who was in a synthetic body, which we haven't even gotten into synthetics.
Because that's a whole other show. We've got about 20 minutes and I don't want to just brush over stuff. So we'll maybe do like side chat questions. Oh no, scary things in the wherever the hell it is, universe, dimension.
Yeah, okay. And then we can do questions if anyone has any. Uh-huh. All right.
Because everything else needs depth and requires time.
Okay.
Our podcasts are going to be 3 hours long minimum moving forward, John.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I had no idea that y'all were going to like me this much. So I was thinking this was going to just be like, oh, an hour. They're not really going to know what I'm talking about. Move on. But at least I got some exposure. Okay. Yeah. But like,
then you meet the guy with a symbol on his hand that's been on a spaceship and you're like, wait a minute.
You hit me with
space Nazis and Japanese teleporting like false World War II outcomes in the first 90 seconds. And I even emailed Sarah and I was like, oh no, this is, oh no. Like what is happening here? And then as soon as you opened your mouth, John, I was like, I've heard this story 1,000 times. This is not 1,000, but I've heard. And when I say I've heard it, I mean from some of the most credible people that are in this entire field that do podcasts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on
you go, John.
No, it's good. It's good.
Yeah. So that's where I'm getting my points of data from. So if you've got any questions, get them over. John's going to tell us about some of the, when I say tell us about the terrifying things, let's not like glamorify anything that is, don't tell any stories with kids, but just, you know, if there's like crazy bug hangs with like wings and that, tell us all about them.
There's a planet called Centurion, which is not that far from us. It's in Alpha Centauri, and it's not technically a planet, it's a Dyson sphere, and the outer shell of it was terraformed. So it for all intents and purposes, it's a planet. thank you, Kathleen. There is everything there is trying to kill you, including the plant life. There is carnivorous plant life that will like giant pitcher plant looking things, but they actually can reach out and grab things with their vines and dissolve you in an instant.
It's freaking Predator, bro. It's the new Predator. That's that planet the Predator was on, right? They're telling us all this, John.
Yeah.
I'm a big enough nerd that everything you tell me, I'll find a movie reference where they've told us already. This is the thing. This is the mad.
On Mars, there are 40-foot wide spiders.
Okay, I'm out. I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to play
anymore. Are you arachnophobic?
If anything's 40 foot wide, I'm a phobic of it, John. Okay. any 40 foot wide anything, bro, I'm a phobic of it. I'm not gonna lie. Unless it's like a hot dog or something like that, but I'm like, nah.
On,
nah,
the, Vega, unless it's a hot dog. Oh my god. On Vega Prime, which is a planet I lived on in the Vega star system, there are plesiosaurs still living, because I'm sure in all your work you've heard of the Draconian Empire, right?
Yeah, yeah, I have, yeah.
They eat dinosaurs as cattle.
That's actually kind of badass. I'm not going to lie. Yeah,
there are planets out there that have dinosaurs still. The ones here were destroyed in a galactic war in order to cut off the Draco's local food supply. But there are plesiosaurs there on Vega Prime, and I lived there for a while. They do have beaches there for tourists and stuff, and they wall off a certain section of water so you can swim in it without getting eaten. There are stargates, and around a lot of stargates, there are humongous worms that are drawn to them. They're about like the worms in Dune, but they're blue.
It's funny that, John. It's funny how that we're just pulling up another movie reference because they keep telling us everything in the freaking movies. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But they're blue. The ones in real life are blue, and their insides are extremely acidic, so they dissolve their prey in an instant, and you can't regen a person who gets eaten by one of those. I've lost close to good people to that.
Oh, wow.
There are ETs which have planet-destroying weapons, including things like compressed stars, which they can load it into a planet-sized gun that they can just aim it and vaporize a planet instantly, kind of like
the Death Star. Okay.
Yep. I was just about to say,
John, you know that scene in like Step Brothers where they like make the bunk bed and they become best friends and do all the fun activities. That's the moment we're having right now, John. I just want you to know that, okay? Like that is the exact, like you're like Night Dragon and I'm Black Hawk or whatever they're called, and this, we're broing up here now, bro. I'm telling you now.
I've never seen Step Brothers.
Listen, you're gonna need to. Okay, you're gonna need to.
Uh-huh. All right. And in exchange, you need to watch Altered Carbon. Because that's
the Netflix series.
Yeah.
Do you know, I started watching it, but I was working whilst watching it. You know how some things you can watch without watching, you can just listen to, like, curb your enthusiasm. Do you know what I'm saying? You're not going to miss anything visually. But I got 20 minutes in Altered Carbon. I was like, I need to actually watch this, and then never went back to it. So I'll do that. Mm-hmm. That can be my homework, John. Okay?
Okay, that's your homework, because that show is about me.
Well, Step Brothers is ridiculous, and you will be like, well, I think my suggestion was cooler, but then you'll get to that scene and it'll all be worth it.
Okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right.
So again, my favorite part of all this is that we had to wipe out the Draconian food source, which was a big dino planet, right? The
Draconians
have got like Triceratops steaks and like T-Rex steaks, and all of that is the most Draconian thing I've heard in my life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
They are pretty badass when you think about the other stuff. It's a bit like the space Nazis. They are pretty badass when you don't think about the other stuff.
It's a bit like the Romans or Genghis Khan or, you know, like most of the Islamic states. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those, bro. Because mm-hmm. there's always little fascinating nodules of a culture, whether it's on-world or off-world. It's always fascinating. But mm-hmm. it's always that 0.002 of the percent of the culture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's fun to talk about dinosaur steaks, but the Draconian grasp over the cosmos is definitely not fun.
Yeah. We could do an entire show just talking about the different social stratas of human life off world, like
hell yeah Uber. Bro, I'm telling you now,
from the uber glitterati down to the people who break big rocks into small ones on Ceres.
Like, you know what we should do? We should look at like maybe like a Sunday night or something and plan a few shows and get a series up so that people know we're going to do this, because everything you're suggesting, right, is like the feeling I get when a really good advert for a new Star Wars movie comes on. I'm like, oh yes, like everything you're talking about, I'm on board with. Like I am.
Yeah.
I'm not doubting you. So I fully believe your story. I believe what you've gone through, you're going through. For me now, I want to try and build on your experiences that line up with other people's experiences, your experiences that no one's ever experienced before, that you can add new data points into, and really then also expose all the horrible stuff, but then nerd out, bro. Like, where are the lightsabers, man? Tell me about the lightsabers. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
So there's that, but we'll make sure that we dial in on the topics because our audience loves this. They are very used to me ruining everything and nerding out for the last 20 minutes. And I apologize because this is the first time we're meeting.
I love it.
Well, good. Because the more you say that, the more, because the comments are going to cook me. They cook me every time after the show goes up as a video, right? So am I getting ahead? I'm just explaining it all. Because I'm fascinated by you, John.
Thanks. Right?
And the fact that you and I share a spectrum brotherhood, okay, is very interesting. Have you found that prevalent in a lot of the people?
Yes.
It's funny though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
So are there any chat questions I need to answer?
I have no idea, bro. Do you think I've been able to focus on anything with you? Do you think you can hit me with the dinosaurs were a food planet for the draconians and you think I can remember that the tides don't even exist, bro? Is that what you're saying? You know that, you know what lightsabers are.
No.
You know
what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Okay, there we go. There's one. We found one. What exactly have you fought? You can go super general.
Okay. I'm talking. I'm writing currently a chapter about fighting the army of Aldebaran, which is the species that first helped out the Nazis, but then they abandoned them, and the Draconians became their main.
What do they look like?
Benefactors. They look like your classic Nordic ETs that you always hear about.
Okay.
They're extremely. By Nazi standards, they're racist. They, like, if you're born with light brown hair, in their society, you get chemically castrated in childhood. That's like we're talking that.
I was okay. My hair went really, really dark blonde later in life. I was born like a freaking Aryan Brotherhood child. My hair was that blonde.
Okay, so. Yeah, you would have survived.
Hell yeah.
I would not have, obviously, because like I'm very dark hair.
Yeah, well, listen, they just get you into trouble anyway, man. These balls, so I wouldn't worry yourself. they just facilitate terrible decisions. Okay, let me pull up some more questions for you, though. Don't worry, I'm pushing the wrong buttons, John. Don't read the question. Just give me a second. Wash. Are you related to the Vickers family of John Timothy from the 1800s, Jane Vickers' daughter, Anne Eliz? Married to Orson Hydro in the 1840s.
I believe that is the line, yes.
Nice. Where you pulled that from, Mormon? Nice. Well done. Is it the same alien man that takes that such a... That's how my brain would type that out. It's so funny. Is it the same alien man that takes you?
I have a standard pickup crew. Yes. They're not aliens. That's the point I try to drive home, that a lot of this stuff is not aliens. It's human beings. A lot of them are people who were born on different planets. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you could go up and have a baby with one, no problem. They're the exact same as us.
Okay, so how many are we talking? Like, when you see, like, the person on the telly, how do you go alien, 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 alien? Random human who doesn't know what they're involved in, alien.
A lot of the time, yeah.
a lot of the time. Yeah, of course you do, because you're freaking sick. Right, so let me get
this. And, but what's actually, what I find that's even more off-worldy than politicians is celebrities and corporate leadership. Because those are the people who actually run society.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians are just kind of there. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are a lot of either ETs in disguise or humans born off-world, part of the off-world glitterati who are in the celebrity class here. And I did an entire show on that, too.
Yeah, I just want to throw this out to everybody. When we talk about why would they release the Epstein files and tell us about baby jerky and keep some things hidden? What would be bigger and more horrifying than baby jerky? Well, this is not just their finances, but this level of science. Okay, don't look at it as, remove all of the words you'll hear in movies, and let's just talk about it as new science. The secrecy that these individuals have, they would rather you knew about their baby-eating pals than you knew about people like John.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, there is no reason for, with this technology, there's no reason for us to have the lives we have. There's no reason for us to be, for us to worry. There's no reason for us to worry about food. There's no reason for us to worry about breathable air and drinkable water. There's no reason for us to not be living to 700 years or more.
Yes, but John, if we had all of that, the prime directive would be broken, and then we could have visitors here. The powers that be are limiting the outflow of technology and human progression, because the minute that freaking a bunch of dudes land in spaceships and go, hey, you can get warp technology now, but here's the cancer laser, we got you guys, they're screwed. So that has always been my argument, that there is a prime directive that is stopping all of the little green men landing here and us all having a big shindig because of freaking Star Trek, right? The prime directive states that the whole planet can be interfered with until they reach a state of a certain level of technology. In Star Trek, it's when they discover the warp drive, blah, blah, blah. But if we are run by neo-Nazi lunatics, okay, or demons, or fairies, or lizard men, whatever the fuck you want to call it, right? If we're run by these people, the last thing they're doing is getting the prime directive so that everybody can know that they're not the ones in control. And I'm very sorry, that is just the most convincing story as to why no one has landed, because it makes sense. It really, really it even makes sense from a, well, I understand why you're doing it. But I understand why you're doing it when you exist with a planet that wants to progress and isn't run by fascist overlords.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
See? Yeah.
Exactly.
Nailed it. Right. Some more questions because we're running out of time. We're just going to just assume we've answered that one. Why are the aliens that... Where are the aliens that eat humans alive?
Okay. Primarily that industry goes to the Anunnaki, which are... They are a humanoid race. They are not reptilians. They are a humanoid race. They range from anywhere from 9 to 15 feet tall. They're very wraith-like and pale. They have an extreme hemoglobin deficiency. They ritually eat humans. Some of them do. There are also a few species in Inner Earth, apparently, that eat humans ritually. And so on. There's about 30 ET species, some of whom have bases here, some of whom are entirely off-world, who like the taste of human flesh, either because it gives them a certain health benefit, or they just are fucking psycho and they like it. Pardon my language. But
30, I mean, that sounds like tiny numbers. I'm not going
Yes.
to lie.
It is. It's tiny numbers.
Maybe like less than 1% then of all species.
Well, that's not even...
Yeah, exactly. That's what
a thing in the cosmos, and this is actually the quote of mine that I have said many times, and I want people to remember it if I get taken out. The biggest lie ever told is that we are alone in the multiverse, because life is the rule, not the exception. Almost every star has a civilization around it of some description. So, you know, everywhere you go, there are living beings that are conscious and that have done something for themselves. So, just, like,
it's so funny how profound the things you are. You sound like you're saying things like a 10 million year old being is saying, but they're coming out of this nerdy human husk with a pair of glasses and a headset on the outside in his porch, bro. It's so mind blowing. Do you know what I'm saying? Because everything you just said,
I'm an average dude who grew up in Texas. I've just had a pretty weird life.
Yeah, bro. Lives. There's no way. Yeah. There's no way you're telling me you honestly believe that you think your consciousness just when you came in. There's no bloody.
Well, no, I know. Yeah. There's the whole history there that we can that could be an entire show.
I think your memories are more like a week in your memories is a single lifetime. And you've probably got weeks and weeks of memories. But I'm down. Hey, listen, I'm down with this version. This one's cool. I like the glasses. I like the vibe. And then when you look at the camera and you go, this is what I want to be remembered by. You go into like action movie voiceover narrative tone. And it's like, yeah, this guy is the real deal. I like it. Well, look.
I try. You have me blushing a little bit.
Good. You should be blushing. You're damn handsome gentleman, and you're fighting for the galaxy, and you didn't sign up for it, and you're presenting it well, and I'm freaking here for it, bro. So,
thanks.
Like I say, this is the beginning of a great friendship, and I can't wait to talk to you again, John. The people in the side chat are just loving you, right? The community here is fully on board with you. I'll get Sarah to connect us both, and we will be doing this again very, very, very soon if you would like to come back and do so, brother.
Okay. I would be very glad to. This was fun. I haven't had a really fun show in quite a while.
Bro, that answer was brilliant. Okay, this was fun. Brilliant. You're a top drawer for me, John. Okay, you are
thanks. A top drawer. You're a top drawer for me. I can't wait to connect in with you.
Listen, you can fully join my soul tribe, and 100%, my G. You are my people, and it's great to see you again. You know what I'm saying?
Great to see you too, yeah.
Right, listen, thank you all for watching. I'm live now over on my channel in like 10 minutes. We're just going to play some music. We're going to be talking about John, I'll tell you that right now. And we're going to be chilling out and just decompressing from the night. So if you want to come and join me, I will give you guys the link right now. And feel free to do so. Yeah. John, thank you so much for your time, brother.
Yeah, you're welcome. And for everyone who doesn't know, I do have a podcast of my own. It's called Do You Hear the People Sing? ! I'm sure Sarah put my links in the description because I sent them to her.
Oh yeah, listen, if they're not, it's because my system, when I was doing the shows the other day, everything was crashing. So if they're not there now, they will be. And I'll make sure that we send you a collaborator link after this anyway. So when this goes out, people will be able to find your channel through the subscription button.
Okay. All right. I'm easier to contact on Facebook, but if you don't have Facebook, my business email, please only use this email. There is another email out there, but for business inquiries, use my kyledellschau@gmail.com, all lowercase, no special characters.
Bro, do you know how the internet works? You know how the internet works? You know when you go on the internet and you say, don't use this email for something, and then you just give the email out. Okay, because I can now see where you're.
I'm telling you the email you can use. I'm not going to tell you the other email, but
okay, good. Yeah, okay, good. Because I was like, this is Kyle, you're out there saving galaxies, but it's not too queued up on what we're doing here right now. So yeah, don't be giving out too many emails, bro.
Yeah, KyleDellschau@gmail.com is my business email, and this is my business, guys. This is the only way I get any income. So like, it's. If you feel like donating, I do have a PayPal link as well.
We'll figure something out for you. Hell yeah, we'll factor that into the next show as well, because I'm all for helping you get some Skrilla.
Yeah.
So we'll figure that out too, brother.
What's your channel you're going to be jumping over to?
My channel is called Project Rook. The word project spelled regularly like project, and then Rook is ROOQ. Project Rook on YouTube. The link is in the description in the side chat. I will send it to you on our little private link here too, bro. I've just messed up my own link, so let me just try that again. And our internal chat is here, John. Yeah, I've got an album coming out next week. I write music. I've got an AI band that I get to sing my music, and I compose all the music, and they play it, and it's sick because the concept of sitting and jamming with a band, people would die. So now I've got a product to reverse engineer with people, and it's going to be a fun night. So if you want to come and experience that, please come and do so. I put a lot of work into this. It's been 7 months of my life.
Yeah.
Come check it out. It all starts here. John, you're a legend. I can't wait to speak to you again.
Now I'm learning you're an expert at AI music. There's a song I'm wondering if you would possibly help me create. And all right. We can chat about that.
Absolutely. Well, come and listen to some of the music, John. I think you'll be quite impressed. So thank you all for being here. Thank you, John. Thank you to the mods. Thank you to Sean Atwood channel. Thank you to all of you for being here. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. I'll be live tomorrow. My links will be up this evening. I'll speak to you soon. Cheers.
Yeah. Thanks so much. This was awesome.
Yeah, we'll still be here.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.